In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I would like us today to savor two lines Jesus speaks from the cross. The first, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cries out these words as he hangs dying. Why, God, have you abandoned me? Where have you gone? Where are you, God? Don't know if you've ever felt that way, but Jesus speaks this out loud on our behalf. These words are actually the opening line of Psalm 22, and yet on the cross, Jesus makes them his own. But what is Jesus actually expressing? Is it a cry to the person of God the Father because Jesus thinks that the Father has abandoned the one and only Son of God? But if Jesus thinks the Father has fled, has vanished, then who is Jesus praying to? Who does Jesus think is listening? No, Jesus does not think the Father has literally forsaken him on the cross. Or does Jesus, who is God in the flesh, think somehow his divinity has left him, that he's been deprived of his true nature? Well, again, that cannot be. How can one lose one's nature? An elephant can't suddenly not be an elephant. A firefly can't suddenly not be a firefly. It is their respective natures. God with us can't suddenly not be God, even in the throes of suffering and death. This cry, my God, why have you forsaken me, is not a theological treatise to be examined, indicating that somehow God has actually gone away, as if it's possible for there to be somewhere that God isn't. My God, why have you forsaken me, is instead the cry of humanity when all feels lost, when darkness seems to have won. It's the cry of a grief so deep I don't think I can survive it. It's the pain that has gone on for so long that I don't think I can take another minute. It's experiencing something so deeply wrong in my world, in my orbit, in my own experience, that I don't see any reason for hope. Jesus calls out these words in human anguish because he is fully human. Yes, Jesus is God in the flesh, but he's also fully human in that same flesh. And we humans have an ancient fear of being abandoned by God that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve hiding in the garden, not trusting when God comes to look for them. A fear that comes from that primordial error the serpent put in our heads, that God is not really on our side. That's really what the serpent was saying. And today, Jesus turns that fear on its head and reveals a different reality. When Jesus calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's revealing that he knows what it feels like. He knows what that's like, that feeling of where is God? Where has God gone in my darkest hour? But how can someone who is God feel our fear that God has left? How is that even possible? Well, it's because we do not have a God who stayed up in heaven, who watched from afar. God came and joined us. You know, first, God sent prophets. And he performed mighty works, and he appointed angels as guardians. And when the fullness of time had come, God became human in the person of Jesus Christ. And God in the person of Jesus Christ can sympathize with our weaknesses, having been beset with the same weaknesses. And one of those weaknesses, perhaps our most ancient weakness, is the feeling that God might leave. that God has forsaken me. And Jesus experienced that in his deepest human nature. And here is where Jesus turns it on its head and reveals a new reality. Jesus exposes that feeling as a lie, as a primordial lie. Now, that doesn't mean the feeling is imagined or somehow artificial. The feeling is real. Have you ever been dealing with something heavy and a well-meaning acquaintance who's not gone through what you've gone through, and they say to you, "Don't feel that way. You don't have to feel that way." It's kind of irritating. It's like, who are you to tell me what my experiences should be while you're standing safe on the outside? That kind of thing makes a person feel unseen and unheard. And Jesus does not do that. Jesus does not stay on the outside. Jesus says, "I'm coming in," and in experiencing the depth of human sorrow and suffering myself, even as God, I get it. I get it. I get it. I get you. I understand you. I feel you. I'm in the trenches with you. I experience it, Jesus says. And we both know, he's saying to you, we both know it's real. But Jesus also shows that while the feeling that God has forsaken me is deeply real, its message nonetheless remains a lie. The serpent's ancient message that God doesn't have your best interest in heart, or that God is distant out there somewhere, or that God doesn't understand, or that God will forsake you unless you're perfect, or at least meeting some minimum standard, or that God's message of love is the world's biggest farce. That whole package that the serpent fed Adam and Eve, and by extension us, Jesus proves it's a lie. The Savior's cross and burial are God with us in the most essential way possible. God is with us. And everything the Savior's divinity touches is transformed and redeemed. In the person of Jesus Christ, God became a child to redeem your childhood. In the person of Jesus Christ, God ran a carpentry business to consecrate your vocation, what you do for a living. In the person of Jesus Christ, God attended a wedding and performed his first sign to glorify marriage, and God remained single to bless the single life. God had friends in order to deify friendship. God transfigured sinners into apostles, both male and female. And in the person of Jesus Christ, God sanctified food and weather and travel and water and oil and even spit and mud God sanctified. And God joined our suffering and our isolation and our grief and took on our diseases and our infirmities. And ultimately, our final enemy, death. There is nothing in the human experience that God hasn't touched with divine nature. Which means, in spite of that very real human feeling and fear, it is not actually possible for God to forsake you. It's not possible. Wherever you go, God is there. God is everywhere present, filling all things. And so, from the cross, after expressing complete solidarity with us by crying, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus then leads us. He leads us to the truer way, the way of faith, the way of hope, the way of confidence, the way of love, by speaking the other line that I hope you will absorb today. When everything was suffered, when everything was endured, when everything was accomplished and laid out, just before he breathed his last, as he was dying a horrible death, in full human confidence and without any reservation, Jesus speaks the words of ultimate unity and intimacy and trust, saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Amen.